Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
8 o'clock hour, welcome back to Big and Night. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez, producing the operation. What are you smiling about?
Listeners, tune in. Tune in, stay tuned for the next 2 minutes.
Okay.
We've got a nice, very pleasant surprise for one Jay Binkley, and you're not going to want to miss it. I promise you. I promise you.
In 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. I promise you. I can't wait to see your face.
Well, I wanted to get into sports drama. It's one of the things. One of the reasons I always like golf on the PGA Tour, especially Sundays, Tiger Woods on Sunday when he's just stalking players, when he's a couple strokes back because they'd melt down with him walking up 9 or walking up 18, just the drama of sports. You know, that really was the first reality TV.
It's why we watch sports, right?
Was truly considered the first reality TV show? I think it was Real World, wasn't it?
I believe Real World
was considered the first reality. Then they had Big Brother and all these shows and Survivor and all these things. And now everything's like a reality TV show. And it became extremely popular. But sports has always been there. And it's always been there with last-minute wins, seeing the greats of the game, back watching Bird and Johnson go at it. You know, seeing Montana sling the ball around, seeing Jim Kelly go to 4 Super Bowls in a row and not win one. I mean, sports has been the drama. Doesn't matter what sport, watching the great Stanley Cup playoffs, doesn't matter. But you got some coaches going at it. And this one thing that college has over the NFL is coaches that don't like each other, coaches that continually battle each other and go at each other all the time. And they're the stars because the players come and go. Come in, stay 3 years, bounce to the NFL. But the coaches are only there. So people always talk about, you know, the Nick Saban versus Kirby Smart as former CEO. You know, Alabama and Georgia. And it's more about the coaches. The NFL doesn't really have coaches that really shine or star and guys you want to see all the time. And Henry Lake, my old co-host, just walked in with a bunch of stuff, beer and
this
stuff.
This is all your stuff, man.
Oh, you're the best, man. You are the best, Henry.
Courtesy of the folks at Fulton Brewery.
Fulton Brewery from Minneapolis. Look at that, man. Look at all that brew.
Right?
Oh, my
God.
What
a pleasant surprise, right? Can
I say something to this microphone?
Sit down and talk.
Sit down, man.
Sit down and talk, man.
Hey, man. We love you out here. I couldn't be here for the beers or bank. So my people at Fulton, they said, we're going to ship some stuff up to Binkley. You met the guys
a few years ago. They collaborated with one of the local breweries.
Yep.
Oh, Fulton, man. It's big time.
Got you. Nice little selection, man.
Dude, you brought me a lot of Fulton beer. You're lucky you weren't pulled over on the way down. You would have gotten bootlegging.
Hey, this is an inside job. Julio, he knew it was going down. I just told him, don't let Mink know about this. So Julio's, he's your guy. He got your back too, man.
You know who I got started drinking that? Well, I mean, sampling, let's put it this way. CDOT. CDOT comes in all the time, and we've been doing these. I did a happy hour with him last Friday.
Yes, sir.
We just sampled six different beers we'd never had, and we sampled. And today we did like a YouTube thing, me and CDOT and Pete Sweeney, where we just sampled six. And CDOT's trying them. Like, he's giving them the old try to have them. So I saw you tweet something out. And it said Kansas City something looks good or something. I was like, maybe Henry's had this in his back pocket, whatever. So you down for the weekend or something?
Yeah, I just sneak into town, man. I mean,
are you here for the Twins?
Twins Royals tomorrow. I'll be there. I have never So I've never sat in a seat at Kauffman Stadium for Twins Royals. The only time that I've ever
press box, yeah,
is press box. So I'm just gonna go hang out tomorrow night because my buddy, clearly doing the post game show stuff for the Twins. Yeah. Twins are on our station.
And you do the Twins post game, don't you?
Yep, absolutely. So Charles Adams is a former Minneapolis Police Department cop. He is in charge of security for the Twins now. And so, Charles, I don't know if you're listening, whatever, but he's giving me a couple tickets for tomorrow night. So I'm going to go hang out, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But and I want to bring you the beer, man.
Man, I appreciate it, Henry.
Beers for Bank.
You don't know how happy this makes me, man.
Yeah, I told you.
Hold on. This is good beer. This is great beer.
I know that Julio gets a beer or two, right? Doesn't he?
Of course. I had to share with Julio. I always do. He's only our two guys
that are
brewery
on the set. Producer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's the guy. But this beer is legit.
Nice.
I still got their keychain for Fulton. But yeah, they sell it around here.
Yeah, so I did talk to them.
It's hard to find, though, now.
It is hard to find, yep. But they got a couple of places where it's tapped out. So yeah, man, how are things? How's everybody doing? Let me put the headsets on, man.
I need to hear
Julio, man. Say
jump
something.
On in.
Henry Lake in studio with me now, my former partner on the day shift, stopping in here and brought a ton of beer. It's good to see Henry. I haven't seen him in a while. Actually, we were on together when we did the throwback day.
There we go.
Julio. Yeah,
one of those ears doesn't work.
No, I know. It's all good.
Better than nothing.
I should have brought my cans.
I had to wear one. You know what? I broke two headsets within 2 minutes. We get these new chairs, and I hit it with my chair, got my back up here,
what you
and broke
doing
it
to
too.
The? Why are you beating up all the headsets, man?
Broken both
you know
in
how
2 minutes,
is.
Man.
You
see,
know
see,
how he is.
See, this is why you got to give Binkley some cheap cans. You can't give him no good headsets.
Yeah,
give him some Dre's or some. No. It's gonna be terrible.
Nope. And by the way, I think he was more excited about the beer than actually seeing you, my man.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
I know, right?
I was happy to see Henry, man.
I go in for the dap and the hug, and he's like, no, move out the way, man. Just pass that case.
He's rocking the old Juice Team T-shirt for Terrez Paylor.
Oh, rest in peace, Terrez Paylor, man.
So that's good. But
rest in peace.
So
I forgot I had this on, man, to be honest with you.
So we were talking about earlier, and since you do the Twins postgame, you're a good person to ask. This division.
Oh.
And listen, it's gotten better. The Twins.
No, it's not a good division. This is one of the worst divisions in baseball.
It isn't, but the Twins, they're the best team in this division. I've seen them all play. They're the best team in the division. Listen, they are. We'll see if they can hold it up because the White Sox are in second place. They're 19-19. They beat the Royals. They were down 4-1 the Royals today, mm-hmm. and they won three games. They played a five-game series because of all rainouts. And they beat them 3-2. But last year, the Royals were 10-9 against the White Sox. This year, they're tied with them 4-4. And I've always said, because when I watch these games, like the Royals are just as good as the White Sox. Now, mm-hmm. the White Sox are a better team. They're better players. Got Abreu on a team, the MVP. They're a better team. But I don't know, man. Defensively, they're a mess. And Cleveland's going the wrong way. They're 3 games under .500. That's why I'm looking at Minnesota going, I don't know how Minnesota didn't win this division.
Well, this is the reason why I'm optimistic that the Twins will win the division this year is because the pitching has been better to this point than anybody expected, right? Because you didn't know what you're going to get out of Chris Archer, right? He's been injured the last few years.
And around the league forever.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen with Dylan Bundy. He literally just came off the COVID-19 list a couple days ago. But they haven't hit the way that we expect them to. Like, they've been kind of hit or miss. Buxton missed a little bit of time. Correa just got back in the lineup yesterday, and they go off. Once they start hitting, I think the Twins will be dangerous. Dangerous. But it's...
If you can keep Buxton healthy.
Which is a big question mark. But I'm so glad to
not
have...
Reminds me of Modesty, except Modesty's gone for the year.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so happy that we made that trade with the Yankees to get Urshela and Sanchez. I cannot stand Josh Donaldson.
Agreed.
Josh Donaldson.
Is Gary flipping that bat yet?
I don't think he's flipped it yet. I think he did once. he hit a monster home run about a week ago at Target Field.
Yeah, he let you know about it?
No. He's going
to
let people know about it. But the bottom line is that I think that Donaldson coming to the Twins was bad chemistry for the team. And now you're starting to hear some rumblings that maybe he didn't get along necessarily with Buxton. That's kind of like that's kind of the word on the street in the last week is that him and Buxton really didn't get along. Now Buxton hasn't confirmed that at all, but I'm so glad we got rid of him because you're paying him $30 million a year. And it's like,
it's insane.
You know, Urshela's making only like eight, I think, this year. So you shed some of that salary. You're able to get Sanchez to back up at catcher because you got Jeffers, who's your main catcher. So I like where we're at right now. But but to answer your question, this division is not good.
No, it's not. But it's, I said the Twins. But there's a lot of bad divisions in baseball. I mean, people here are still upset at me because I don't know how's the TV. Who's the TV people?
Oh, we're Bally Sports North.
Yeah, so this is what I thought.
So it's the same. You guys are dealing with the same situation
deal.
That we
same
are.
Deal. No one can watch the game.
And people, well, now let me ask this.
They're supposed to have an app out next month. But
that was going to be my question. Like in Kansas City, they're trying to do the same thing with the app.
Yeah, $20 a month, which is ridiculous.
Well, what are the fans saying about that? Because in Minnesota, fans are saying, look.
Nope.
We love the Timberwolves. We love the Twins and all this. We're not paying $20.
Nope.
Now, I already have cable. I have all of it, right? Like, I got the Hulu Live. I got cable TV. I got all of that,
see,
right?
See, he's old school. He keeps cable. See, yeah. I got cable here.
But that's the only saving grace, though. No, but I'm dead serious. Yeah, I know. You won't see it all. Now, and I'm talking about, because I need to be able to see it at all times.
You got to watch the game.
Not only at home, because remember, in the quarantine, I was not broadcasting from the station. I was broadcasting from home. We didn't go back into the station until this past December.
Well, some broadcasters are, like Denny Matthews is doing it from his home.
Yeah.
Well, There's a nice article about him in Kansas City Star about it.
Well, the last year and a half or so, like Joe Goldberg, me and him talked about it. He wasn't traveling.
Yeah, he's
with the Royals.
Is this year? Yeah.
Yeah, he is this year. Yeah, I just saw Johnny Cane a week and a half ago.
Tigers,
yeah. So guys are back on the road now. But I'm saying, like in the midst of it, you had to do something. So I'm with you, bro. We're team cable.
YouTube TV. YouTube TV.
I'm also
same
team
thing.
Cash at the ballpark because I've always said, here's the deal. Baseball's minimum age is 57.
Mm-hmm.
NFL, NBA, NHL's 49. It's a big difference.
Yep.
And, you know, I know my mom, she loves the Royals and all that, but she didn't like apps.
Yep.
She didn't like ordering, you know, getting apps on tickets. She likes to pay in cash and, you know. And that's like their major fan base, but it's not catered to them. It's like this whole baseball thing. You guys are doing the same thing. It's like Royals Bobby Witt Jr. You're going to get to see him play. The number one prospect in baseball. And he's finally starting to hit some home runs, and he looks good. You'll see him tomorrow night. But that's who you market. I guess the app should have been ready before the season. Like, you got to take advantage. He's the most type guy since I've been covering baseball. More than Hosmer or anybody.
Yeah.
He's been the most hype guy. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be in June. People already found other stuff to do.
But. Julio, you said you have YouTube TV.
That's correct.
All right, so before I had Hulu Live, I had YouTube. But it's the same problem.
You don't get every game. No.
Yeah.
No.
So are you personally willing to sacrifice to get Royals games?
I'll put it this way. If the Royals were competitive, yes. Because they are where they're at, there's no way in hell I'm paying $20 a month to watch to pay for another app to watch a losing team. It would be different if they were competitive.
Now this is I'm going to ask you and Binkley both this then, because I think your answer would be different if you lived in Minneapolis as opposed to Kansas City. Here on that specific app, you get Sporting, right? You get Sporting, right?
They're free. They stream their games online.
Okay, all right.
On over the TV.
All right, so you don't have to worry about them. So you get the Royals, and then what else? Because in Minnesota, you get Timberwolves, because clearly there's NBA there. You get the Wild, and you get the Twins.
Oh, which, by the way, how about my Blues?
See, don't. Why are you going to bring that?
You did that.
I walked right into that.
You did that.
By the way.
I'm not going to say anything more because it's weird.
No, it's all good.
It was the most ridiculous series ever because there was always like 5-0 or 5-1.
I walked right into that because literally before I came here and I text Julio that I was leaving Power and Light. So I've just been down grabbing a bite to eat with my buddy Olafu, who is Ochai Agbaji's father, right?
Yeah.
So we met and we grabbed a bite to eat down at the No Other Pub? That's the spot in Power and Light. So we're hanging out there, and guess who's showing up there now to watch hockey? The Blues fans. I'm like, I gotta get out of here, man. I can't take this.
Too soon.
And we had a home mic.
How's Obaji's dad doing? He's doing great.
Yep.
Turned a pretty good player.
And Ochai is right now. He's currently. He told me to tell you hello.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he knew I was coming here.
Tell him hi.
Yep. Yeah.
But he turned out to be a pretty good player, didn't he?
How about that?
All right.
You've been building this kid up since high school.
How about
he used to go to his high school games.
Julio, this is how it worked out. I went to because that's North Kansas City, I think, was the
North
area.
North Kansas City School District.
Yeah. So I go over there for this holiday tournament, right? And I see him play for the first time. I come to Jay and I'm like, Jay, this kid's off the hook. And I mean, we know the rest of the story.
Turned out pretty okay.
Ends up at KU. Every team should have been recruiting him. They didn't, and they lost out.
Here's some text. And it's sitting 316. I missed the Humpty Dance at 10 a.m. on Wednesday.
True listener right there.
Another one, Lake and Bank. So great right now. Another one, 816. OMFG. What up, Lake?
What up?
Also have a terrible love for Bank. So you're getting a lot of love here from people.
Well, I appreciate that.
They missed you. But well, I was a total surprise.
You got plenty of beer, man.
I got to get your picture on the break with this beer. Oh. I got to get this picture because that's...
Man, that's whatever.
You're too kind for this.
Don't thank me, man. Thank the people at Fulton, man.
I'll tell the people at Fulton that I've always loved their beer and even went out when the Lawrence Beer Company, the first day they...
Yeah.
Because of Hanson.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was the one that put me onto it.
Yep. So, I know there's a lot of things that you can't really drink right now. He can drink beer.
I can. Not as much as I did last weekend, but in moderation.
Well, you... Hold on.
Moderation. I'm drinking sugar-free crap.
Can you keep it real on the air?
I haven't had an energy drink since February.
Can you keep it real? Can you keep it 100?
What's up?
Were you drunk last weekend?
Oh, God, yes.
Yes.
See, look at this. I got this hole in my chest now, and everything is metal in here. I can't even go to a metal detector.
He deserves that every now
and
then.
Here's the deal. We started a brewery.
You're alive and kicking, man.
But they had... Yes, exactly. It's a good thing. And he has got this podcast room this brewery does. So we're doing a podcast. He's kept filling my glass up. Just filling it. I want to go to a whole bunch of these places. But it was not happening. So many.
You only made it to one?
But I had to work Sunday morning. So at some point, I was like, no mas. You know, because I'm on this medication.
Binkley tapped out.
I probably had at least 18. I mean, I was caking them.
Wow.
18.
Which is way too much. I'm lucky I didn't have back there.
Well, Bink, I planned this all week. I communicated with Julio. The other person you should give some props to, too, that put me in contact with Julio is Dusty. Yep. Dusty knew about it.
Oh, did he?
Yep. So Dusty was, you know, it's an inside job. You know, Julio and Dusty is an inside job. But the bottom line is, man, I'm just happy that you're doing well, bro.
Hey.
We love you. You know, me and you check in all the time via text, and you come on my show and stuff and talk cheese. Yeah, talk cheese. My gosh.
Did a lot of draft talk, too.
Oh, my God. Look, here we go.
They
I set him up.
One of my guys.
Look at now. He's in NFL mode. Come on.
They drafted Sky Moore. They drafted one of my guys.
Yeah, I know. He likes to pat himself on the back.
No, I do. You know that.
What would he have been on the – do you think he would have been on the all-juice team?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah,
there was a couple guys that I think that would have been on there. That's one thing like I miss about Trez. We used to, like on Saturdays, we'd text each other like, hey, man, is this guy? Because I was always like trying to advocate for juice guys. Like, and they did it this year. And a couple of guys on the mock were on the juice team.
Yep.
And I didn't know that because they put the Eric Edholm and Charles Robinson did the all juice team in honor of Trez Paley.
Yep, I saw that.
And so it was
Yeah,
it's crazy. Man, it's good seeing you, juice team.
Hey, man, always a pleasure to be here and hang out with the people in Kansas City and see you. Thanks for letting me, allowing me to crash your show.
You're my guy, man.
I appreciate it, man.
You're my guy. And people, man, they get a little treat out of it.
Kansas City, I love you guys.
There you go. Henry Lake right there with us. We come back. I want to get back to this Nick Saban little argument because I actually think Henry would have enjoyed this. Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher going at it next.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Bink at Night, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. Thanks to Henry Lake for coming in here, man.
How cool was that?
It was very cool. I haven't seen Henry for a long time. We did that deal. Remember 610 day? We did that throwback day?
Yep.
Where we did guys that used to work here, right? We did stay, but he was still in Minnesota, and I was here, and we did it like that. But yeah, we did a show for like 6 years, the day shift.
You guys worked it. Yeah, it was years, man.
So it was a long time. Yeah, all through the Royals, victories. It was a fun time. Fun time.
Well, I'm glad he stopped by, and I'm glad he
drafting
brought
him
you.
Mahomes and all that. Gosh, we had fun.
Crap ton of beer. That is a lot of beer that he brought you, by the way. Fulton hooked you up.
They did. I'm glad he's here. He does cases. Twins post game, so he got a few days off from that, evidently.
We got cases over there, my man.
It's good, dude. Rocking the Trez Paler shirt. I like that.
It was very appropriate. Very appropriate.
Big thanks. Big thanks to Henry Lake. I appreciate that so much. Textline loves him. Textline's very excited that Lake came back in the studio.
Did some good stuff around here.
Ron Kopp joined me early in the show at 6:30 from arrowheadpride.com. We'll bring that to you. But I got to get back to this for just a second because this is all over sports. It's the main story, the bickering between Nick Saban, who went on SiriusXM and walked some of the things back. But this is what he said. You tell me if this is pointed or if he's walking anything back. This is like when he first said it about Texas A&M buying their recruits last year.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So there was Nick Saban buying all the recruits, buying all their players. So I know he took a lot of crap from that, right? They both been reprimanded by the SEC, Saban and Jimbo Fisher. So Jimbo down at Texas A&M has his own press conference. It was a press conference just to go right back at Nick Saban. And the SEC doesn't like schools going at each other like that. Like, they don't like this. Keep in mind, Jimbo's got one national title. Nick Saban's got seven. But listen, Jimbo, to me, made it worse. Had he just taken the high road and just gone after Nick talking about, hey, we didn't do it, whatever, just done it that way, or hey, you've benefited forever, but everybody wants to go to school because your name, I would have left the personal stuff out of it. But he went there, and they play each other this year, and that's going to be the greatest game in the college football season when they play. Bama's, by the way, already 20-point favorites in this game. But anyway, here was Jimbo's response.
Last night in Alabama?
Yes, I would. First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past. Or anybody's ever coached with
him. Don't go there,
find out anything you want to find out. What he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you, the people who insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Questions? To the left, Olin.
A couple of things, Jimbo. First of all, have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he showed you who he is.
And then I just wanted to.
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then actually,
you got all the advantages.
Huh?
It's easy.
And I just wanted to just put it point blank. So no players in your – you're saying that no players in
the
state –
There's no laws of anything we ever promised, done, anything that goes against the laws of the state of Texas, and it's insulting to say a 17-year-old and his family broke laws. No.
Down front, Brent.
You know, y'all have both spoken so highly of each other in the past in terms of what y'all have done in your previous relationship. So how disappointing was it to hear that from him, you know, in terms of, you know, a mentor type to you?
It's disappointing.
Well?
No, I wasn't. Now, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I
man, I love Bobby Bowden. But let's face it, he worked for Nick Saban. Didn't learn anything. Learned everything from Bobby Bowden. Well, he won 7 national titles. Jimbo, you've won 1. Don't forget how you left Florida State to take Texas A&M. But again, the SEC commissioner spanked them both. You're reprimanded. But what's he really going to do to Alabama? They're the cash cow of that conference.
For now.
They're in the playoffs every year. They bring in money, money, money to that conference. They're the highest profile team in that conference. And he's the GOAT. Listen, this is like Tom Brady, the playing version of Tom Brady. Brady's got 7 rings. Nick Saban's got 7 rings. Certain GOATs can say whatever they want. See, he said this stuff? No. He did apologize. He tried to call Jimbo Fisher, said he didn't mean to say it, but Jimbo didn't take it. But he was also in a room of business leaders. And basically he was saying, all right, guys, you need to step up and pay money. But he did say that his players did get over $3 million last year, which is great. And I see his point, though. I don't, you know, you shouldn't go after a school and, you know point out. You shouldn't have pointed. Why don't you say some are doing
school.
This? Is what, yeah. I would just use the word some, not school. Because the rule of the law is that, okay, once the players are there, then you can pay them. But what they don't want to see is a bidding war. They don't want to see a bidding war where a kid getting $800,000 to go to one school and another one stepping up and giving $1 million just because the school has more money to give. But again, this is where they rely on the boosters, remember? They don't like to tell the boosters who's going to be the next head coach. They like to keep them out of it. But yet they go crying to them when they want to do a buyout for a coach or hire a new coach or start paying these kids no money. They need the boosters, man. And pretty soon the boosters are going to want more and more say because they're pumping in millions of dollars to the organization and getting them recruits. They're going to start wanting more of a say from these teams.
It's only going to get worse.
But eventually these teams are going to branch out. That's what they're going to do. They're going to leave. You know, the Ohio State ADs even talked about it. They're going to leave. Because they don't need the NCAA. There's only a select few teams. Just use the power conference teams and just go.
Yep.
Because that's all it's going to be in it anyway. And you know what? You say, well, what about Cincinnati? Well, Cincinnati's going to be in the power conference in the Big 12.
Especially for college football. They really serve. The NCAA serves no purpose.
Because you have no
chance.
You go undefeated Toledo, you're going to the Motor City Bowl.
Yeah.
Like you were going to the Motor City Bowl in Detroit, Michigan in January or this late
no
December.
Thanks. Yeah, no thanks.
Anyway, it's your one. Anyway, coming up next, my conversation about all things Chiefs with Ron Kopp.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Big and Night. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. Good visit from Henry Lake today. They brought just a ton of beer from Minneapolis. Always good to see him. That's Twins postgame in town. The Twins in town tomorrow about to play the Kansas City Royals. Had an opportunity to catch up with Ron Kopp earlier. We talked all things Kansas City Chiefs, including what would you do at edge rusher if you're the Chiefs? Would you still go out and get somebody next?
What's up? I love this music getting into it. Shout out whoever picked that out.
Julio.
Good music. There we go. Julio.
You're welcome, Ron. You're welcome.
There you go.
He did just for you, man.
Just for me? Oh, wow. Yeah.
You're special.
Oh, Jay, I appreciate you having me on, man.
Hey, no, I appreciate you coming on. All right, so Melvin Ingram's with the Dolphins. Bradbury's with the Eagles. You guys ran a poll over at arrowheadpride.com. what do you think was the biggest position need going forward for the Chiefs? And it was overwhelming, like over 80% edge rusher. Where'd you come out on that? Because that's what I voted for.
Yeah, me too. That's absolutely the case. I mean, you know, we've talked about the cornerback position, the safety position, kind of getting stacked this offseason in terms of a lot of depth, a lot of players that you could throw out there. Well, you know, defensive end has you know, guys that you can throw out there, but we just don't know much about them yet. You know, besides Frank Clark and Mike Dana, you're talking about very unproven commodities besides them. And that's, you know, at a position you like to be deep at, man, that is pretty scary. I mean, you're talking about Joshua Kando, who barely played last year, obviously his season after being a part-time player anyway, his season ended early with an injury. And then Malik Herring is also somebody that they picked up last year as an undrafted free agent. And he was actually injured in the Senior Bowl in the 2021 draft process, didn't play all of last year. And he's a guy that's kind of flashed at minicamp a little bit, but still someone that has not played any NFL snaps. And then obviously you have George Karloftis, the rookie first rounder too. So it is kind of crazy that they've gotten to this point. You've heard Brett Veach talk about how they wanted to look at the defensive line position in the offseason. He was looking at the defensive end position in free agency, kind of looking at what they had. He mentioned that. And yet here we are, you know, and right before OTA starts, and we still don't have any additions besides the first round pick. It is pretty crazy. And now I do think we'll see maybe a veteran addition by the time training camp starts. I kind of joked on Twitter yesterday, it's probably just going to be Alex Okafor. We'll call it a day, which I don't think anyone would be super excited about, but I would think they'd make a move by now if they really, you know, if they really wanted to get a super impactful person. So in my opinion, I think now they may just bring in someone that can maybe, you know, eat up some snaps and knows the playbook, because they must trust who they have right now if they're this far and they're still as thin at that position.
Keep in mind, they always know more information than we do. Like, I didn't know exactly. The whole Justin Ross and four teams medically cleared him. Like, I didn't know that until Dabo Swinney said it. Like, that was news to me. I don't know how you thought about it, but four teams medically cleared him. It's no wonder he fell out of the draft. And, you know, but these teams know this stuff. They see the medicals. They talk to the players. They do the interviews. And I don't know, Ingram's always been his own man. Just like last year when he thought about it, ends up signing with the Steelers. He'd already visited the Dolphins, a month ago, and then he finally signs the contract. The Chiefs did a nice move because now they get a draft pick by losing him. But they could have afforded to bring him back. But sometimes what we want is not what the organization wants. Like, something's there. Something's not right. Like, the fit's not right. Like, the money was there. The money was right for them to bring him back, I felt. But they didn't do it. I mean, I know he got one sack last year. The numbers didn't enamor you. He did get good pressure on the quarterback. But like Bradbury, you know, the cornerback that's going to turn 29 for the Giants. People wanted to make the trade with the Giants. Then became a free agent. But then nobody went out and grabbed him. I'm just thinking, the Chiefs wanted to go through the draft as far as cornerback's concerned. So that's the Bradbury thing to me. But maybe they just didn't want Melvin Ingram. I mean, that's what it might come down to.
Well, you know, I do think the Melvin Ingram point is interesting, because when you look at the details that come out about his contract, which dropped today, Field Yates had a tweet about it, and our John Dixon at the site actually posted an article detailing it. But when you break it down, he's actually only guaranteed $3.9 million this year, because the rest of it is incentives that are considered not likely to be earned. When you consider that, you know, the Chiefs put a tender on him that would have guaranteed him $4.4 million to play for the Chiefs. So he actually took less guaranteed money to go play in Miami. And so, you know, that tells you, I think, what you need to know in terms of, and, you know, I think it is funny how in the 2 years we've kind of had this Melvin Ingram news topic. He's never picked the Chiefs, right? He signed with the Steelers last year, and then we had to trade for him. We had to force his hand to get him in here. And then this offseason, he doesn't choose the Kansas City Chiefs again. So it is just interesting that maybe he really doesn't value, or he values maybe, you know, the location, the Miami part of it, more than being more competitive in Kansas City, which, you know, I'd imagine he's not talking himself into that Miami's going to be more competitive than Kansas City this year. I don't think that's something that any sane person would think. So, it is pretty wild that he chose that, you know, to be a Miami Dolphin over a Kansas City Chiefs, because I will say, you know, he was the best edge rusher on down the stretch last year. And I know some people kind of, you know, maybe don't believe that. I truly do believe it, man. He if you look at him and Frank Clark's stats back-to-back in the playoffs, Frank Clark had no sacks, no quarterback hits, and a 7% pressure rate in 150 snaps. Melvin Ingram actually played about nine fewer snaps, had two sacks, three quarterback hits, and an 11% pressure rate. So it really was a noticeable difference and how impactful he was compared to what they have in Frank Clark right now. And so all that said, they are going into a season with just not a lot of excitement at the position, unless obviously Karlaftis, we're all excited to see what he could become, but it really is just a really kind of a position where, it's not anything really to get excited about. And that's one position you really want to have some exciting players. That means they're getting after the quarterback. That means they're beating an offensive tackle on third down. There's not a lot of guys right now that we can see that. And I thought Melvin Ingram would be one of those guys. So I am a little, I'm surprised that the Chiefs didn't make a bigger effort to sign him.
And it seemed like the guys really liked him, so the locker room fit, you wouldn't think it would have been a problem. The guys really liked him, and I felt the defense got that extra edge, the chip on their shoulder when he was with them. But is there anybody else out there? Because the list was bad. The free agent list was bad. And we're sitting here saying Ingram was sixth on the list, and Clowney was like eighth. But Clowney stays out there, and there's not been any interest at all from the Chiefs on a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. And I get it. He's been here and there, and he has been a bit of a disappointment at times. But he did have nine sacks last year on a bad Cleveland Browns team. So that, I would take that anytime I would take that anytime.
Yeah, no, honestly, I was surprised. I did not realize he had nine sacks last year, and I think that might be contributing to the fact that the Chiefs may not be in on him. I think he might be holding out for more money than maybe we all think he could get, possibly. Because, yeah, nine sacks, that's close to his career high. He had 9.5 in 2017 with the Texans. So, that's about as good of a year as he's had as in terms of production in the NFL. And, yeah, that's the thing. He's 29 years old still. It's not like he's, up in the JPP age or the Justin Houston age at about 33 years old. Another guy on free agency in that same range is like Carlos Dunlap, the longtime Bengal, a big dude that would, that could probably eat up snaps here at the edge position. But, yeah, Clowney is probably the most intriguing of them. But I do think he might be holding out for a bigger deal than maybe the Chiefs want to do. Although, at the same time, they have cap space. They're not obviously using it right now. What else are you putting it towards? So, I could see Clowney being the move. But, a guy like Jason Pierre-Paul, he did play with Spagnuolo. He has the experience with Spagnuolo. I mentioned Alex Okafor before. He is 31 years old. He is out there. He has played in this defense for the past 3 years. I could definitely see him being away too. But no matter how you slice it, no matter where you put it, it's not going to be an exciting signing. But I do think there's probably going to need to be a signing. I can't imagine they go into training camp with just the five guys they have that I mentioned already.
Pete Sweeney was up here earlier today. We were talking to Carrington, and I were sitting around there talking to him, and we were talking about, the bets, the team versus the field and all that situation. And I asked him, I said, who would you take in the AFC West, the Chiefs or the field? And he was more like the field. I'll ask you, in the AFC West, because I see so much, Chargers love right now and some Broncos love. And there's no Raiders love, they're the only other team to make the playoffs in the division. Would you take the Chiefs to the field if I was going to ask you that?
Yeah, I think right now in the offseason, we're all still very, we all saw those moves recently, right? We're all still kind of getting used to all the moves we've seen and the Chiefs not making as many moves. So I do think it is easy to say the field. Obviously you've got the odds with you on that, three teams against one team. I'm going to go ahead and say the Chiefs, though, because the more I think about it, the more I really, think about the season, kind of preview the season, I feel like by the time we get to week one, man, we're all going to, we're all going to kind of forget about all that and just kind of remember like, oh, yeah, this team has Patrick Mahomes, this team has Andy Reid. And honestly, I really do think something that we're all underrating is just how the revamp of the offense, how it's going to have to look different just because you don't have Tyreek Hill anymore, which no matter what, it's going to look different. I really think that could give them an advantage because I do think part of the reason why they struggled against some defenses last year is because the defense knew what they were doing. And, we all love Andy Reid. He's a great coach, but, he can be stubborn about how he runs the offense in terms of, maybe not adjusting to what the defense is doing, kind of saying, I want to do what I'm doing and I'm going to force the defense to adjust to me. Well, I think we saw in the Bengals game maybe, and that's not all on Andy. It could, obviously Mahomes shares some of that blame, but all that to say, I do think there could be an element of surprise type of thing here with the offense this year in terms of we don't know what it's going to look like, and neither do NFL teams. I mean, we really could see an offense that looks a lot more play action heavy, you know, a lot more runs, obviously, you know, under center stuff because of the offensive line, because of how they've addressed, you know, the running back position, obviously, with Ronald Jones. That's what he excels at, right? That straight ahead downhill stuff. All that to say, yeah, I really think the Chiefs, we're going to get there and realize, oh, yeah, the Chiefs have the best head coach in the division. The Chiefs have the best quarterback in the division. And then also you have a little bit of an element of surprise where this offense could maybe even be more effective than it was last year in a different way. But just because defenses won't necessarily know how to plan for them right away, at least at the beginning of the season. So it'll be interesting. But, yeah, I'd take the Chiefs, man. They've won the division 6 straight times. I mean, that's all I should honestly say.
What do you think about the Bills love, the Chargers love are getting? It seems like in the national media that nobody wants to pick the Chiefs. You know, I don't know if they're too bored doing it, but it's not that far out on a limb. I mean, there's a few of them like Lewis Riddick going out, you know, and picking the Chiefs, but it's almost like people are shying away from the team that's been the 4 AFC title games in a row and hooking on to a team like Buffalo that can't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I get the Buffalo love. I mean, you know, they were a great team last year. And, you know, I do think one thing we're underrating with Buffalo is that they are losing their offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. He's obviously the head coach now with the New York Giants. And I do think that could you know, mess with Josh Allen a little bit. I think Daboll really unlocked Josh Allen's potential.
I agree.
I mean, you know, I who knows what, you know, maybe a new offense for them looks like. You know, I talk about how the Chiefs' new offense may help them. Well, it's still Andy Reid in charge, right? You know, that's a new coaching, you know, a new offensive coaching staff, obviously, in Buffalo. I get the Buffalo love, though, man. Josh Allen has proven a lot. I mean, he didn't lose any games last year in terms of, like, the playoffs, right? I mean, they didn't punt in the Patriots game, and then, you know, he basically won the game for him in Arrowhead, and Patrick Mahomes just stole it from him. So I get the love, and, hey, I think everyone kind of is ready to see maybe another team at the top of the AFC. So that's probably what it is. But you can't – it's hard to dispute the Buffalo love, man. They are a really good team. And, you know, adding Von Miller this offseason, I mean, that is a big addition. And, you know, they're just a good team, you know, that's going to be competitive. So I get the Bills love. I get it.
I think Daboll might be an issue for him, though. I don't know. I mean, yeah. The guy did a great job, and he was – kind of the key to what that offense did, because their head coach, Sean McDermott's cut his teeth on defense. You know, his job right before he took over head coach was defensive coordinator in the NFL. So, I mean, he kind of ran everything, and I think that was kind of a big loss when we look at the different units in this division, the good teams in the AFC. The one guy that was lost that made a big difference to his team was Brian Daboll.
Yeah, exactly. And I really do think, you know, he really did, like I said, unlock Josh Allen's potential early in his career. You know,
So that was the thing with Brian Daboll being gone from the Buffalo Bills. I mean, that was one of those big differences. He's gone. So we'll see how the Buffalo Bills do. That's the question. Anyway, we'll come back, wrap this bad boy up.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Bink at Night. Final segment, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. Good to see Colin in here tonight as well. We'll hear a lot more from him coming up soon.
That's right, and he's going to take over.
You ready to go?
He's the new young talent.
Is he ready to go?
He's getting there. He can cut some mean audio.
Well, Julio's the master to learn from.
I do what I can.
Well, I appreciate the surprise tonight.
Right? I told you would like it. You were so concerned about it. I got your back.
I didn't know what direction you're going. I don't like surprises.
You told me you liked surprises, though.
Well, this one was a good one.
I'm glad you liked it.
That's a lot of beer.
That's a lot of beer.
It's a good brewery, too.
I'm excited. I've never had Fulton, so I'm excited.
You gotta try,
to
man.
It.
Yeah. I will share. You too, Colin. I will share the whole thing. Anyway, thanks. It's good seeing Henry. You know, he's going to go out there and enjoy the Twins-Royals games. They're the runaway team right now. I mean, maybe
well,
the White Sox catch
them. So,
maybe the White Sox catch them. I don't know. As long as the White Sox stay, they've already played the Royals 8 times. So I know that they got the Royals upper hand today, but they're still 4-4 in the season against the Royals. The Royals beat them last year. Actually, Cleveland's the only team in the division the Royals didn't have a winning record against last year. The only team.
Oh, I guess I got to hang our hats on something. It's not much, but.
Huge thanks to Ron Kopp, ArrowheadPride.com, for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. which comes pretty quick, actually.
6 a.m.? Did you just work 6 a.m. this morning, too?
I did. Back tomorrow.
No life, man.
I really don't have a life. Yeah, this is kind of it. Anyway, thanks for listening. Always appreciate it. It's a good time. I can't dive into too much of that because it's 6 a.m. comes pretty
early. Pace yourself, please. Pace yourself.
Anyway, thanks a ton, Julio. Always enjoy it, my friend. Take care.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.